This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hurricane Hotline. Delighted that you are with us. We've got a big show lined up tonight for you. University of Miami Vice President and Director of Athletics Dan Radakovich will join us and talk all things University of Miami and ACC. And then tomorrow, Miami and Florida State in basketball, the last meeting between Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles and the Miami Hurricanes. Leonard Hamilton retiring at the end of the year, and Leonard Hamilton will join us on the show tonight. So, Dan Radakovich and Leonard Hamilton coming up on the show. Let's begin with our conversation with Hurricanes Vice President and Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich. All right, here we are in doing the show here tonight. We're from doing the show from Dan Radakovich's office, Vice President, Director of Athletics of the University of Miami. Dan, as always, thank you for being with us. And 3 years now you've been back here in this office. And what have the 3 years been like? I suspect it's been a bit of a curveball only because of what's happened in college athletics.
Well, first of all, Joe, it's great to see you. Always good to be with you. Yeah, it's been 3 years, 3 years and a little more than a month and a half. And look, there's been a lot of challenges in college athletics. We have, obviously just gone full bore into them as it relates to the NIL, opportunities for student athletes, working with our collective, navigating the transfer portal. Our coaches have done a really good job of leaning into it and making sure they're trying to build for the future, build successful foundations for their programs so that we can continue to have the great success that we've enjoyed over the years at the University of Miami.
I do want to say, I think for the University of Miami, you being here has been a blessing because the timing has been impeccable. When you arrived was right about the time all of this stuff was getting ready to change. So I think more than anything, the school needed leadership, veteran leadership, and you've been through so many different things that has had to help you and help the school navigate this new world.
Well, thanks for saying that. I will tell you that it's just one of those things where as an athletics administrator for as long as I have been, you were always kind of moving towards answers. And you knew exactly, you tried to see around corners a little bit, but understanding that at the fundamental deal, you hire good people, you give them resources, you allow your student athletes to grow academically and athletically, and good things will happen. Well, now you've injected a number of other variables into that very easy linear path that I just described. It's a linear path. I shouldn't say it was easy, okay? But now now there's so many other variables that you just have to make sure that you're able to navigate. And it's hard to express that to, you know, even some of our longtime supporters who, you know, love the idea of the more of the name on the front of the jersey than on the name on the back. But we have to reorient. We have to understand that it's a little bit different. And we have to continue to create opportunities for student athletes that we feel are good for them here, both academically, athletically, and now from a compensation level, to make sure that we are in the ball game to get those high level athletes. So, yeah, it's been a fun 3 years so far, and I think the better days are ahead.
Coming up, we're going to have a ruling. The judge is going to make a ruling. That's I guess it's going to significantly change college athletics. Can you maybe take us through that and how it will impact the University of Miami?
Sure. On April the 7th, Judge Wilkins will finally come back to the bench. She will hear grab all the information that has come forward from folks who've objected to the settlement, folks that have continued to support the settlement, and she will, sometime more than likely after April 7th, make a ruling, and we hope that she will settle the case as it's been explained up to this point in time, where we, you know, have a $20.5 million bucket of money that we're able to allocate to student athletes, both in football, basketball, all our Olympic sports as well. And each school has the opportunity to allocate those dollars as they wish. You also have the ability to do name, image, and likeness opportunities for student athletes. They'll be able to go out and do that, but they are now will have to be evaluated by Deloitte International, you know, major consulting and accounting firm. They've been contracted to do that, so they will set up ranges of compensation for certain NIL activities. So the student athlete will put the NIL opportunity into the hopper, have Deloitte look at it. They'll either agree or disagree. If they disagree, the student athlete has the right to go to arbitration within a certain period of time so that they present their case. The arbitrator looks at their case and says, or Deloitte's ruling, and they rule one way or the other. That is binding arbitration, and the answer is done at that point in time. While all this is going on, the student athlete is still eligible to continue to compete. Okay, so that, you know, they're not sitting off on the sidelines. So it's a new system. That's about as high level as I can explain it, because we haven't been given all of the details yet. So it's going to be new. But I know that, you know, just the people that we have here are a great relationship with the Canes connection. Zach Burr and his team, my folks here, Dan Rabin, our compliance director, Brian Baptiste, our deputy AD, we've all been meeting together, you know, trying to set up our strategy for moving forward, our legal department here on campus as well, to set up the best circumstance for us to be able to move forward in this new world.
Roster sizes can change, I suspect. Will they change? How will that impact the University of Miami?
Well, the roster, it used to be the roster sizes were, for the most part, uncapped. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have 150 football players at Nebraska. You could have 120 here at Miami and other numbers in between. But the roster cap is now set at 105 in football, 15 in men's and women's basketball. I think it's 36 in baseball. So, you know, those are the numbers. Now, the interesting part about that is you can scholarship all the way up to that roster limit. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, you can have 105 football scholarships. I don't think in the world we're living in today people are going to do that. But they can also, in football and in basketball, where they couldn't do it previously, they could fractionalize their scholarship. So you could have two men's basketball players getting half scholarships. Along the way, where it used to be full scholarships. So, and the same thing with football. You could have, like, the last 10 guys on the roster kind of being what you would think were walk-ons before, but you could actually give them some financial aid if you desire. All the deadlines for when those roster limits are set are all, you know, TBD. I think they're getting into the final numbers and timing for that to be, but more than likely it'll be just before the season starts in football, and probably just before Christmas and the holiday vacations for the spring sports.
Basketball season for the men starting to wind down. Obviously, looking for a new leader. It seems to be looking for a new leader, new head coach. What will you be looking for in a new head coach?
Well, I think that, first of all, you know, I think the job that Jim did here for the years that he was here was just outstanding. And those are going to be difficult shoes to fill. I mean, he went to six NCAA tournaments, you know, during his time here. So that was by far the most of any University of Miami basketball coach in our history. So we want to be able to probably look at someone who can keep us at that success level, take us more consistently into the tournament, and looking at it from the ability to relate to players, you know, given the NIL environment that we have right now and the ability to revenue share with our players, you know, the coach's relationship with those players has to be strong. Obviously, as I said earlier, a great recruiter, someone who can organize their staff together and bring in disparate personalities and control them to be able to help bring players in from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different, you know, geographic backgrounds, you know, Europe and you know, basketball is a global sport now. So we need to be able to go and look and see how we can get student athletes from other places and have them come here and be successful. So those are some of the things: relatable, you know, organized, efficient, and have some track record of success, because we want to make sure that they can bring that along here to the University of Miami.
There are some jobs out there that are open, as there will always be, but this University of Miami job, I think, is very intriguing, very good job. It's been proven you can win. It's in still a very good basketball conference, and it's been proven that you can make the Watsco Center into a home court, a favorable home court advantage.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I think some of the other jobs that are open, they all have their unique positives as well, but we will try to sell ours, things that you just mentioned. I agree with you 100%. We need to keep moving forward and giving student athletes, you know, not only the compensation benefits that are out there, but making sure that they can come and develop as a player, develop as a student. That's still important to a number of people. So that's where we're trying to make sure that as we look for this new leader, we give them the resources that are necessary to be successful.
It has been a tough year inside the ACC for basketball. Do you think there's been a lot of emphasis on improving football, but now do you think ACC basketball has to invest?
Well, I think they do, and you can't lose coaches like Williams, Krzyzewski, Boeheim, Bennett, Larrañaga, and have the same level of just power that had been there previously. So I think it's going to take a little while for some of the newer coaches and some of the younger coaches to get their footing. But, you know, basketball is still very important in the ACC. And, you know, I think the drive to make football better is completely separate from making sure that basketball gets back to where it needs to be. I think that there's a desire to do that. When we were together as athletic directors a few days ago, it was, you know, reiterated by Commissioner Phillips how important it is for us to make sure that the basketball programs get to, you know, the high levels that they had been in the past. So we're working hard to make up that to happen. It is a tough year for us right now. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not the year that we had looked to pull together, but, you know, this is Trisha's first year, you know, putting her stamp on the women's program. Certainly we'll have a new men's coach next year and have a circumstance where, you know, they're going to get time to put their stamp on the program. But it's not five-year processes as it had been in the past. You know, with the ability to flip a team quickly, you can do what I've explained to a number of folks is what University of Louisville did. They were 5-35 in the last 2 years in the ACC, and they're now ranked in the top 25. Yeah. So get the right mix of coach and acquisition of players in a great environment, and I think good things can happen.
Okay, we're talking with University of Miami Vice President and Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich. We'll continue right after this. All right, Joe Z here with a discussion on making your life easier and adding luxury to your life. And you say, well, Josie, how do we do that? Here's how. How about getting behind the wheel of a Williamson Cadillac? Nobody does customer service better than Ed Williamson. Of course, his lovely wife, Carol. Jermaine Chambers is there to get you all set up. Former University of Miami wide receiver. If you need anything, ask for Reggie. And of course, the general manager, Jeff Rogers. What a team. That's the dream team right there at Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. And right now, they've got the CT4, the CT5. I'm driving the XT4. It's beautiful. The XT5, the XT6, and the new all-electric Lyriq. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, drive a new Cadillac and get it from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back on the show as we continue on with Vice President and Director of Athletics, Dan Radakovich. Spring football is going to be starting. We'll get to baseball in a moment, but spring football is going to be starting. It's also the 100th anniversary of the University of Miami, and boy, does football have a home schedule. Notre Dame and Florida got 8 games this year or so, coming off of an extremely fun season.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think football, as we've talked about earlier, has made a step forward. You know, and you know, just with Mario and his staff and how the players he's been able to pull together, I mean, it's an exciting time. The season that Cam Ward had was just fantastic, and just so much fun to watch, as you said. Now we have Carson Beck and the rest of the people that are coming in with him. I think we have a chance to do it again, starting on that Sunday night against Notre Dame, and we have a 4-game homestand starting with Notre Dame, ending with Florida. So that'll be a lot of fun at Hard Rock Stadium in September. So really looking forward to it. I know Mario and his staff are excited about it. You know, spring football, as you said, is going to be coming right around the corner. All those things are just showing a bunch of excitement for Hurricane football.
Those Hurricane season tickets, I would think, would be a hot item this year.
We're doing really well right now, and we have a great percentage renewal because it's in the renewal time period right now. We'll go out for public sale here shortly. But it's really gratifying to see how many people enjoyed being at Hard Rock Stadium last year and are looking forward to coming back and being a part of it this year. So, just keep looking out for opportunities to buy those tickets, whether it's through X or on the website or wherever. We'll be out making sure that if you want to be a part of Hurricane football, you'll be able to do that.
We touched on this a little bit in the last segment, but fundraising, it's always a very important part for any school, especially the University of Miami. But for those that are giving, is it different now in terms of what they are giving to, and what would you say to those that want to be a part of fundraising?
Well, it is a little different. I mean, over the last couple of years, we've asked people to give money to the Canes Connection to help our NIL opportunities. But after July 1st, assuming the settlement goes through, we'll have the opportunity to give out the $20 million to student athletes. So we'll be able to fundraise to help. That's a new bill for us. So we'll have the opportunity to help fundraise to lower that cost. Mm-hmm. And that will go. That'll be a tax deductible. Hey, just give money to the University of Miami, and we're going to decide to allocate it into certain areas, and that possibly could be one of them. But, over the years, the Golden Canes, the Silver Canes, the Athletic Director Society, Category 5, all the different levels within the Hurricane Club, and they've been so important for us, to be able to help give scholarship monies and build facilities for our student athletes. We need to be able to continue down that path. Brian Campbell and our fundraising group have done a phenomenal job of continuing to look for not only the grassroots folks that are, you know, mostly tied to seat opportunities inside Hard Rock Stadium, but those generational and transformational gifts that help us build buildings, you know, fund scholarships and things of that nature. So a lot of opportunities will be coming forward, especially with the, you know, new addition to the IPF, mm-hmm. where we're going to take that out to 100 yards. We'll have a new weight room, new practice areas outside of that. So some really good fundraising opportunities there within the football program.
We went through the college football playoff experience last year, right down to the really selection day. Is there something that you took out of that, like, you know, look at the way the college football playoff broke out, whether it's scheduling or whatever, that will help us in the future? And in terms of scheduling, I mean, you look at this year, nobody can complain about your non-conference with Notre Dame and Florida and South Florida.
No, the only thing I would have changed about last year's deal, we should have had 14 teams.
Yeah.
That would have helped the University of Miami. Yeah. And we're going to move to 14 teams, you know, and maybe we'll get to 16 teams. There's all of those changes that the commissioners and management group will begin to talk about here, you know, in the next couple of weeks. I believe they meet at the end of February. So, but I think it was a rousing success, the college football playoff. I mean, people watched it. It was exciting. It was different. But given that it was different, there's obviously you can't use the same ideas that you had for a 4-team playoff with a 12-team playoff. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll have a few tweaks associated with that. You know, along the way, but whether it's the seeding or, you know, other issues, like, I'm not sure they should have done a ranking before championship game weekend. They should have just left the ranking that happened pre-Thanksgiving roll through. I'm sure they'll talk about it. Maybe they'll think about doing it or not, because it did seem to take away the opportunities of, you know, other teams while some are playing and some are not playing. So we'll see how that comes forward into the future. But all in all, I think it was a great success, and looking forward to seeing what tweaks they make and how we can expand it into the future.
I think if you were not a college football aficionado, it did become confusing because people saw seedings and rankings and they didn't match. And so it was like two different messages coming out to fans.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest piece, you know, is the seedings and rankings not matching up. But again, it was the first year. So we'll see how people adjust to it into the future.
A lot of discussion about, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten and them waving they're flexing their muscle. And I think maybe you had a discussion I heard about ACC trying to level the playing field. And one way to do that is through scheduling, where the brands have to play each other. The scheduling inside the conference has to be stronger. Do you think we're taking those steps? Is that something that will happen, has to happen, in order to level the playing field with those two conferences?
Well, we talked about it at our recent meetings, and I think that, you know, the commissioner has assured us, you know, the brands, you know, that were there at the meetings, that he'll take a look at it and see how we can maybe move some of the scheduling to a better spot. Certainly ESPN, our television partner, would want it. So I think it's good for everybody to get, you know, all together. Now, that might not mean that everything is, again, from a financial perspective, rationed out equally. And that's where you get into some very, you know, interesting waters. So it's something that everybody recognizes would help the league, but it has to also kind of work through the process of happening within the league before it can be implemented. Everybody's got to kind of sign off on it and say, okay, this is the way we want to go. And that could mean some less revenue for some of the teams that would not be in that brand area that would be a hard sell.
ESPN renewed the contract with the ACC, the TV contract. How does that help the University of Miami? And do you think that keeps the conference together? Because as soon as it was announced, then you got all these rumors about Florida State and Clemson and North Carolina. So how does that help this conference right now and help the University of Miami?
Well, I think it would be good for the University of Miami to stay in the ACC. I mean, we've said that all along. I mean, and that's our preference. I think now with ESPN kind of signing off until 2036, that gives another level of stability. We've had our first year of success initiatives, and that's very important. We were a beneficiary of that because we were ranked in the college football playoff and we went to a bowl game, so we got some success initiative dollars. I think that those are just – having that stability is really important, and then we'll see where things take us, you know, over the next couple of years. But, you know, the University of Miami is very happy within the ACC for sure.
I don't know what the final television ratings were, but it seemed to me that you played so many close games and big games and great games that television-wise probably did very well.
We did. We were I know that from whatever – there's a number of different metrics that you look at television, but we were number one in the ACC in all of them. So it was a great year for television for the Miami Hurricanes.
Hey, the radio ratings were good too.
They were great too.
Before I let you go, we are in the spring. Baseball season will be underway. Second year for J.D. Arteaga. You can already see the impact he's had on his roster. He's got a bunch of lumberjacks. They're all 6'5 and above. So he's made a recruiting change there. But ACC baseball, University of Miami baseball, that's a big thing.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, and you know, we'll start off this weekend. Next couple of weekends, we're all at home, and we're excited about it. I think that last weekend they had the alumni people come, and they had a ball, as they always do. I mean, those are some of the happiest people going, former baseball players. So they had a lot of fun coming back, and just looking forward to it. You know, we have a preseason All-American, and Daniel Cuvée, you know, going to be playing third base for us again. And it was kind of interesting last when the alumni were here, Yo-Yo Morales was here, and there was Cuvée, and they kind of went, you know, they were, hey, these are this is the same guy playing third base. Yeah. But, no, they had a lot of fun with that. And just looking forward to JD's second year, and as it is with a lot of things, the ACC is really a high-level baseball league. So every weekend is a test. That we play in the ACC. So looking forward to the challenge there.
By the way, the ACC made a great move in baseball, the baseball tournament. ACC baseball tournament one and done now. It's a you go, if you qualify, you go. If you win, you advance. Four teams get a double bye. It's the same format as basketball.
Right, and I think that's going to really help. That's really going to help the baseball programs and make it more exciting for that ACC baseball tournament.
Okay, we're going to sell more tickets. 1-800-GO-CANES, hurricanesports.com for football season tickets, right?
Absolutely. Let's make the call.
As always, great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you.
All right, that's Dan Radakovich. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, happy to welcome you back to the show, and I could not be more delighted for our next guest, who is joining us, Florida State head basketball coach Leonard Hamilton, and coming up, Miami and Florida State, most likely for the last time with Coach Ham coaching against the University of Miami, which probably is good news for us. Florida State's won 14 of the last 15 against Miami. But, Coach, I wanted to have you on the show because we've kind of come full circle. You did this show with me, the Hurricane Hotline, back in the 90s. You gave me great access. I went recruiting with you one time, so I thought, what a great way to kind of wrap things up coming down the stretch here to have you back on the Hurricane Hotline.
Well, Joe, if you went recruiting with me one time, did we get the kid?
Jake Lawson. We were in Philadelphia, Coach. He went to Villanova.
Oh, my goodness. It was your fault.
Yeah, probably. You have had an unbelievable career. I want to touch on it with University of Miami in a moment. But what brought you to this point that finally decided to make this decision that you were going to retire?
Well, Joe, it's just time. You know, there's nothing else really to say. I mean, the climate has changed, no doubt about that. Yeah. Some things you like, some things you don't like, but this is who making these adjustments, what I've had to do personally all my life. But it's this time. I've both had a good run, and I would like to, you know, thank all the support that I got from the fans and the boosters and the Miami community while I was there. It was enjoyable. We had, I think it was the top of the key club that we hung out with. And you probably don't know this, but we were, most games, we would have a top of the key club scouting report meeting. And we, the people in the top of the key club would come over, and whoever the coach was that had that scout for that game, he would sit and talk to our boosters, the top of the key club members, as they were my players, and he would give them a film, the statistics and analytics, and I enjoyed that so much. That was part of what I look forward to, and what I thought our group looked forward to as well. So I've had a lot of fond memories of my time in Coral Gables, but I'm sure I'll be coming and hanging out in Coral Gables. My son still lives in my house there, and I developed so many friendships. And my wife and I would come down there, and we would really enjoy some of those nice restaurants y'all got.
Yeah. Well, while we're on Miami for a moment, I think back at your time here, 10 years, the way you built this program. A couple of years ago, Miami goes to the Final Four and probably never goes to the Final Four without the building blocks. But you think there's going to be a day, or maybe you've already done that, where you sit back and you think about the James Jones and the Tim James and the Mario Blands and winning the Big East and some of those battles at Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament, winning the Big East regular season championship on our home floor at the Miami Arena. Those were some pretty special days.
Well, I remember, Joe, a lot of those moments, and I would cherish them, and there'll be fond memories for me for the rest of my life. Those are some great days that for me. And I'm going to tell you a little funny story. My wife, when we came in on the interview, my wife did not think I would take the job. She was so sure I would go stay in Florida State that we flew in on a Sunday night. That Monday during the tour, she said, "I like it. If this is what you want to do, I'm all for it." She said, "But you're not going to leave all that talent in Stillwater." And so she said, "Can you see whether or not you can get me a flight back home? And I want to try to get back to Stillwater before it get dark." So when she got home, she turned the TV on. There I was accepting the job. So that was a fun moment for us to talk about it once in a while.
Yeah, I can remember... I want to say maybe it was the first Big East game against UConn, and you were recruiting, I think it was Stevie Francis, and then he got injured a year later in the Midnight Madness. But just in terms of recruiting,
Steve Frazier.
Yeah. And just trying to get one player, but then you were able to assemble a bunch of players. And I think, you know, I always remember the relationships and the loyalty that you've built with many of your players. You have to be proud about that, right?
Well, when I took the Florida State job, about 30 of the University of Miami players came, met me for the Final Four in Atlanta, and took me and my wife out to dinner, which was a moment that I have pictures of that'll be something that I get emotional about whenever I think about it, because for those guys to come to the Final Four, put forth that kind of effort, and then take me out to dinner and enjoy those moments will be one of the most fond memories of my life.
You always thought playing against your teams was very, very hard for two reasons, for Miami especially. One, because of the rivalry, and two, just because of your suffocating, smothering defense. And I always thought that you looked at the game different than everybody else because you looked at it from a defensive perspective.
Well, I was very fortunate, Joe, in my first job at Austin Peay State in the university, to work for a guy who I think was a genius, the late Lake Kelly. And he was a defensive disciple of Bobby Knight. But even though he patterned a lot of his defensive philosophies by Bobby Knight, he had his own twist on how he taught it. And I was just so very fortunate to learn my first job to learn from somebody who really, really taught me and allowed me to benefit from the knowledge and the experience that he had. And so, on every team that I've ever played on, I probably have been the most valuable defensive player. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of natural for me. And I felt excited about it every day. When I first went to University of Kentucky, Joe Hall allowed me to put the defensive philosophy that I picked up at Austin Peay into our program at Kentucky. And that year we went to the Final Four, lost to John Wooden in the last game he coached. Right. So defense has always been a staple of our philosophy and our system.
You've had enormous success at Florida State and a great run at Florida State. What made that job so special for you? Why was that a great fit for you through all those years?
Well, my wife really enjoyed being in the state of Florida. When the job came open, to be honest with you, a lot of folks tried to contact me with the job opportunities that were available during that particular year that we set out. But Florida State was probably the only job I was willing to take that particular year. I was hoping that it would be a great fit for me because I was familiar with the state, and I've enjoyed 10 years here in the state. And when that job became available, they had made a real commitment to upgrade basketball. They put a brand new practice facility that will be available the next year. So all of that had a lot to do with the decision, and I've enjoyed it. It's been a great run for me.
Do you think, you know, when you first got into the state and came to Miami, it might be somewhat true now, but people would say, oh, this is a football state. It's a state of football players. But you ended up having very good success recruiting players from the state of Florida, basketball players. And I think you helped contribute to making this state more balanced between football and basketball and increase the presence of basketball.
Well, the University of Florida had a good program going. I think it was Lon Kruger, I believe, there. Yeah. And so I can't take all the credit because they were doing pretty good. But for me, when I was an assistant at Kentucky now for 12 years, and a lot of opportunities were starting to become available. And I made my mind up that, I remember like it was yesterday, late one night, and I'm dreaming about what jobs that I should be interested in. And it was almost like God reached down from heaven and slapped me on both sides of my face, saying, those jobs that I was thinking about, those jobs didn't need me. You know, I wanted a job with a great tradition, great facilities, all the support in a great city with plenty of players that I could recruit from. And I realized that was not the type of job that was best suited for me. I decided that I need to be somewhere where I could develop a program that no one else has really been consistently successful at. And so I started trying to identify the programs that might be attractive to me that really need a little fixing up. And so my journey has been taking programs that were not great programs from a success standpoint and building them up. And that has been my journey. Oklahoma State hadn't been to postseason tournament in 27 years. Obviously, Miami didn't have basketball for 13 years. And Florida State had been a little inconsistent. So those jobs have been the type of jobs that I look for. And I just think that it was a unique perspective from my standpoint. And I've enjoyed those types of programs. And Miami was one of those kinds of programs that just needed someone to be focused to bring it. I looked at the potential and the positives, and I didn't worry about the negatives or the challenge.
Before I let you go, what do you think you'll take with you the most? You've had great wins in the Big East Conference when it was at its height, beating UConn, Georgetown, St. John's, winning the Big East. You've had great success inside the ACC, winning the ACC, being a thorn in the side of Duke and Carolina, or the impact you've had on so many of your players?
Well, two things. The relationships that I have been able to establish with youngsters means an awful lot to me. The fact that they call you, send you cards to their family on Christmas. They call you on Father's Day, leave you texts that they seek you out for advice. They want you to be in their weddings. They want you to meet their fiancés. I have a voicemail that Michael Ojo left me, wishing me happy birthday. I'll never erase it before he passed. It meant so much to me. And then secondly, the fact that we have close to a 97-98% graduation rate of the kids that we were able to bring into our program, excuse me. And so those things mean an awful lot, because I kind of felt that I had so many people help me along the way. And that my getting a degree was obviously, I was the first one in my family, and I set the table for my brother Willie and Barry and John and my sister Pam. They all went to college, so it's getting education and getting that degree has been something that I've pushed for, and those things I am most proud of. And you know, people look at coaches. They identify them and they celebrate them on their wins and their losses and how many NCAA trips they make. But when, in reality, as a coach, you look back and see what kind of husbands and fathers and neighbors and citizens that have that you've been a part of, helped develop, means so much more than the trophies and the clippings and the recognition that you've gotten, because you've contributed to helping someone have a better way of life. And those things have been so important to me, because obviously for me personally, you know, getting the education meant so much to me, and I think it meant a lot to our guys. So those are the most fond memories, when I see them walk across that stage and they get that piece of paper that no one can take away from them, to me has been so important that I really enjoy it. Now I take those memories with me forever.
Well, I always knew also you were a tenacious competitor, and your players played that way as well. You've beaten Miami 14 of the last 15 times. In your last game, could you take it easy on us, please?
You know, I can't worry about Miami because I got Clemson coming in on Saturday. Sorry about that. We'll think about Miami when the game's over, okay?
All right, this is what I'll leave you with. You've had such a great impact, not only on your players' lives, assistant coaches. You always take time out for people. I'll never forget, my daughter and I were doing the state tour for colleges, and when we got to Tallahassee, we stopped by your office, and you said to me, well, if she comes here, I'll keep a close eye on her. And so I knew I had a good spot there had she chosen Florida State. And that meant a lot to me, just wandering into your office. And that just shows that you always had time for people. So thanks for your time here in Miami. Congratulations on your great success. And I hope you enjoy the next chapter of your life.
Thank you very much, Joe. And tell all the fans at University of Miami that those are fond memories that I enjoy. That thank you so much for the support that you gave me, and part of me, I guess, will always be that my journey has been, I've had such a wonderful run that every school that I stopped at, I think that I've enjoyed, and no, none any more than the University of Miami.
All right, Coach, thank you. That's former University of Miami coach and now, of course, head coach at Florida State, Leonard Hamilton. Thank you so much, Coach. All right, thanks to Leonard Hamilton and Dan Radakovich for joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. Our producer has been Trevor Harris. I'm Joe Zagacki. Have a very pleasant good evening.